We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is Issues 2020. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Jeremy Hill, Executive Director, Center for Economic Development and Business Research at Wichita State University. Welcome to Issues 2020, Jeremy. Nice to have you with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Steve, for letting me come on.
Yeah, let's begin with some basic information. And let's start with, what is the Center for Business Research, Development and Business? What is the center there?
Right. We are a component of the university to gather data, provide information to business, community leaders, and individuals, not only in the Wichita area, but across the state. So we've got lots of data, lots of information, and we try to apply economics to help answer those questions that are needed out there.
Now, are students involved in this, or do they gathering the information?
Yeah, we currently don't have any students on board just because of some financial cuts, but that has been a core component of our center, having students engaged, giving them experience. And then actually, we've had several of them go off and get some great jobs across the state and in other states and countries. So,
how long has the center been part of the W. Frank Barton School of Business at WSU?
Yeah, well, we actually celebrated 50 years not too long ago, so we've been around for quite a while.
Wow. I didn't know it was that long. I thought there was something new. Jeremy, yeah. The events of the past few months with the pandemic have left all of us with many questions about the future, and we'll try to answer some, I guess, today. How would you describe the pandemic's impact, the overall impact on the business community across the U.S. and the world?
Yeah, so that impact has been very different from other events that we've had. And in our recollection, we think about economic recessions, right? The Great Recession is the one that comes to mind, and this is nothing like that. So when we try to describe it, this is more like a natural disaster. But unlike what happened with some hurricanes, this is a natural disaster that affected the global economy. And because of that, it really is going to have a very different feel and look as we go to recover from this, which is not in our normal mindset for businesses or households, right? We're expecting, now that we're opening up markets, things are just going to bounce back, and that's not going to happen.
Okay, so wouldn't be defined as a depression, but something other than a recession, you think?
So, yes. So we officially are not calling it a recession yet, but yes, it is clearly a recession. For it to be a depression, it needs to be longer term. And I don't think that's the case either. When we think about the Great Depression, which goes back quite a bit, we look at depressions in other countries, it is really stagnant for a long, long period of time. I don't think that's the case because we already saw, markets starting to open up, the last couple of weeks, and I expect more to happen. So I don't think we're going to be in a depression, which is long term, but a recession is clear. We've had enough decline that, and not only job losses, but losses in productivity and production, that it's clearly a recession.
You mentioned natural disaster a minute ago. Has the business community ever reacted like this to a natural disaster?
When you talk about the business community reacting, can you give me more thoughts on that?
I mean, just everybody in the world. I mean, has there ever been a natural disaster that's had this impact on jobs and the economy?
Yeah, so if you think of Katrina, and that's the one that I've referred to several times being the closest that we can get to in our recent history, in a recent mind. And in that case, that's the closest. But even in that was isolated. It took a long time for the area to recover, but and the business community had to work through it. And there's similarities to how businesses completely shut down, closed up orders, and then try to rebuild their business after. That's the closest one, but that was isolated. You know, now we're talking about the whole national government, state government, and global economy being affected, and that's where we're getting a little bit rub, where it's not quite the same, where it takes a lot more for economies to reopen up and for the cash to flow to help businesses have those resources, where when it's more isolated, it was a whole lot easier to push national funds down there and resources down to one area to recover. So that's where it kind of varies. Now, there have been other pandemics in the past, but it's hard to compare to those because the economy is completely different from them, right? So we've seen pandemics in the past. It's just those are smaller economies, more regional. We're now global economy, tech savvy. It just can't be as comparable.
All right, but do you have some recent numbers that indicate just how serious this is in our region?
Okay, well, yeah. You know, the data is slow coming because this has been so quick on us that it takes, you know, months to verify data and to really have a full analysis. I can give you our estimates, which we produced a little while ago, and so far we're unfortunately on track to this. We think employment in the Wichita area will have declined about 35% from this pandemic. I mean, losing 35% of jobs. Now, this is full-time and part-time jobs, which is different than unemployment. Unemployment that we just got for April was over 11%. And while May is our biggest hit of this, and so we're clearly had a lot more losses there. And I think we're on track for that. How do we compare that? We thought Wichita was going to decline by 35%. We thought the state was going to decline by 27% employment. And then the nation, we've heard other numbers a little bit less than that. So, those are guesses on where they are or where that's at. Now, I've looked at unemployment claims. That's another data source that kind of gives us an idea and some information on taxable retail sales. Other than that, we're kind of lacking on data to really measure the impact. If I was at home, you know, how do you take this in perspective? I think, you know, Wichita's been hit pretty bad. And it's because we had two big black swan events. And a black swan events, those unpredictable, really extreme events. That's the 737 MAX. And then the coronavirus has really hurt us. And then, unlike the nation, our manufacturing took a lot of losses just because they were running out of cash and having a bigger impact from this.
Well, now, when you talk about those jobs that obviously a big, big hit, are they coming back? Have they started to come back? And how long will it take for us to get them back, I guess? That's the question.
Right. So you got to split that up in a couple of different ways of when and how. Unfortunately, it's not going to be all the same. Those that we really, those hardest hit were at the very beginning, like food, restaurants, and things like that, we lost jobs immediately. Some of them are bouncing back, right? And then you get into other sectors like manufacturing, which we might talk about a little bit more later, which I don't think is going to really bounce back so well, and it's going to take a lot longer. And I can go into more detail if you want.
All right, we'll talk about that in a minute, but I want to ask you what you're seeing in terms of overall retail business and their employees. Is retail coming back quickly?
Oh, so this one's actually a twist, especially what's happening right now. I don't think retail, the bricks and mortar retail that we have in stores around here are ever going to come back the way they were before. Right? This is one of those sectors that is just, it was struggling going into the coronavirus and this recession, but now that we've gotten all this new technology, new ways of purchasing, we've gotten over our fears, we've purchased more stuff online, it has really been that nail in the coffin for a lot of them. Now, where does that differentiate? We have some local retail that is not really, it's based on service or it's based on a unique product or experience. Those are probably not going to go away. Those are going to come back. They might struggle. We might see some bankruptcies, but they're going to come back, right? We have places like the Spice Merchant that we like to go to as part of an experience, as part of the knowledge they give us. But then you have other ones that are more those national chains, and you've seen a lot of bankruptcies, and I think that those are probably gone. They're going to shrink down significantly, and we're going to have a lot of holes in those commercial real estate buildings across this this region because they already had online portals to sell their goods and services. Those are the ways you're going to probably purchase more of those.
That is interesting. That's interesting because what you're saying is basically this has forced many people to go online for the first time and experience that. And that may be, as you're saying, the wave of the future, more and more online then.
Yeah, we were already on that track before this. This just accelerated it. For those people who just liked that personal experience, that personal experience just disappeared because they were struggling financially in that model to have a physical space and having staff there to serve you. And now it's just way more expensive. So that just removed that labor. Now we might see retail in a different format from those same big box. I don't want to say big boxes. Retailers are national chains that we've liked, like Old Navy, things like that. We might see a new version of that in the future that is maybe smaller and less labor. But it's probably not likely anytime soon. There's a lot of recovery financially from those companies. They've had lots of losses and have been devastated.
Well, that both what you said just saddens the heck out of me. I'll tell you why. When I go to buy an item of clothing, I want to try it on there. And I like to have the contact of the salesperson, having been one myself in retail. It saddens me no end, but what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, it's the cost. We want, as demand as consumers, we want things cheap. And so that experience has been going dwindling and dwindling going forward. So,
well, you're listening to Issues 2020 on the Entercom radio stations. And our guest is Jeremy Hill, Executive Director, Center for Economic Development and Business Research at Wichita State University. Let's talk about the pandemic's impact on manufacturing here in the state, Jeremy.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about that before. We had, let me go to aerospace, and we had these two big events that really has put a strain and a burden on aerospace, right? It was the 737 MAX, and they were working through it, managing that risk, had some layoffs and some furloughs, and then you had this event. Now, one thing we should put in perspective is that it was just these two events lined up that really weakened the companies and the demand for commercial that just put the strain on it. We saw the layoffs early and some of the furloughs early, but what we're seeing there is not much different than what we're going to see in manufacturing across the state and across the nation, right? Their struggles is just what we saw early on. So I think we're going to see a lot more layoffs, a lot more struggle in manufacturing for the remainder of this year. And unfortunately, that includes there's still a lot more struggles for aerospace. They're going to still have problems really trying to figure out how to fix the supply chain issues, which, you know, look at the latest surveys, there's still issues with supply chain getting the products in, even though demand is down. Struggle with this getting the global economy ramped back up, right? As long as overall economy and the global economy is down for aerospace, that means there's less demand. And so we're going to struggle to ramp that one up. It's going to be a lot slower than restaurants, right? We're going to be hungry and go out and eat. But for that overall manufacturing, it's going to be very slow coming back up.
Well, you talk about manufacturing, and obviously you're primarily in this part of the world, aerospace, and that is a huge part, not only of the South Central Kansas economy, but also the state economy, because manufacturing down here in the Wichita area has a lot to do with what happens in the rest of the state, right?
Right. It's definitely a driver. What if you look at employment in the state and you look at what the biggest drivers, well, employment and our concentration is still, when we look at our uniqueness, it goes back to manufacturing over even agriculture. We think we're an agriculture state, but doesn't have a lot of jobs in it, right? We're really more of a manufacturing state. And that manufacturing is highly concentrated in not only aerospace, but also the sectors that support aerospace. So machinery, equipment, and chemicals. And they, even if they don't drive it directly, they're connected. So,
yeah, when it comes to the manufacturing, like you say, that goes out and like echoes or something from here to all those suppliers in the manufacturing chain, many of them locally here, but they're also even in other states and other countries. Am I correct in that?
Oh, yeah. We're very global. When I've done research on that, yes. You look at our manufacturing is highly connected, not just here, but to other states around us, like Oklahoma City. We're highly connected to Washington, and then you go other countries that are linked to our economy.
You know, we're talking the other big, one of the other big exporters, at least, is agriculture. And we may not think about that much here when we're city slickers or city dwellers, but agriculture is a huge part of the Kansas economy. Tell us about the pandemic's impact there, if you've got some figures.
I don't have any figures right in front of me, but I definitely can chat about that. Going into this, farming was a struggle. You look at farm debt, amount of revenue versus the amount of cost just to run your household. The revenue was much lower than the cost. And so we had farmers that are going in bankruptcy. Last year we had some, not record levels compared to back in the 80s, but we had a lot of bankruptcies. So there were struggles. Today, you go through the coronavirus, you know, they're still working. Everyone still has to eat, especially commodities like wheat or some basic grains and foods. And then on the beef side, people are still going to need it, but they're running into problems with supply chains themselves. Like, how do we get goods here to help me produce what I needed to get? How do we get it out? And then they're dealing with coronavirus within the labor they do have, like the meat packing plants in West Kansas. There have been outbreaks there where you need help the labor force. So they're struggling. It's just a very different struggle than it is into like the Wichita area.
And of course,
they have to keep producing, lots of demand, but they're struggling with other things.
Yeah, and you were talking about at the plants, there was a little bit of a bump and may still be a bump in the price of beef, for instance, because of the problems in the plants.
Right, it's problems in the plants. And actually, here's a more complicated issue. Once we stopped going out to eating at restaurants, we eat higher-end meats at restaurants. Now that we're eating at home, we go to hamburgers and cheaper meats. So there's a mismatch in the demand of what kind of meat we want and what kind of meat we're going to actually willing to pay for. So, there's a shift. We're not less prime rib, but more of the hamburgers.
I think
and that changes the whole market for them.
I think about a couple more questions here that have probably you've gone over a little bit. When it comes to manufacturing, you're saying there's a recovery, but will it ever be a complete recovery? Will we ever be back to the good old days when it comes to manufacturing?
So there's, I think, a misconception. When I talk to people around the Wichita area, let's go back to aerospace.
Okay.
You know, we think, oh, we are not back to where we ever were before.
Mm-hmm.
But we think about that in the terms of jobs because we can see it, we can understand it. However, when you look at the value produced, just productivity and total output, we were in our good old days back in January and February of this year. We were producing a lot. Even though the 737 MAX was on a freeze, we were producing quite a bit. I think we will get back there because it doesn't matter if we have a little bit less demand on commercial, we're going to have more demand on business jets, which was our core structure of our economy anyway. And there's still going to be demand for other manufacturing. It will continue probably to be less labor in the process. They're going to do it in a different process because now coronavirus is kind of going to hang with us for many years to come and thinking about those risks. But as for production and how it adds value to our economy, because you're still producing a value-added product, it's still going to be key. And I think that's where it's going to come back, and it's just going to take a lot more than a few months, like restaurants. It's going to take a lot more than a year for it to really fully bounce back.
You make a good point there, something that I'd kind of forgotten, and that is the way our economy has been changing over the past several years is fewer people to produce more goods. And we've even seen that here in the broadcasting business as well. And that's just something that started years ago, and now it's going to continue.
Yeah. So, it's definitely changing. I've had several conversations over this last week with business owners because we're thinking about, I'm just communicating on a number of reasons. I've had a couple manufacturers, and I've been asking them questions of how they've been handling this. And a word that clearly almost all of them said was perseverance. We're figuring it out. We're working with the payroll protection program so we can keep them employed. We're trying to figure out other loans and getting cash. But in that, I would ask questions about how innovative they are being, because in the Great Recession, just a few years back, we had very little innovation. Even here, we just didn't have a lot of innovation. This time, some of them said, yes, I've completely created a new product, stuff that we don't really talk about and even hear about on a daily basis. But it's even more innovative than that. They're, how they use their labor, or how they change the production process, or how they're getting different cash flow, or creating. There's a lot more innovation going on now that is really, it is more now than it was in the Great Recession, and that is great for this economy to come back. I'm going to be very positive about manufacturing because that's our core, and I see and talk to the businesses. They're being more creative than they're giving themselves credit.
It's going to look different, that's for sure. You know, your Kansas Economic Outlook Conference is set for October 8th. Is that still on, Jeremy?
Yes, we're still on. We've had more questions about the economy than I think we've ever had in the past, and there's a need for it, and I'm excited that we're still going to be for it. But we did recognize that we can't just have the same event the same way it was before, so we've developed a flexible registration. So someone could register now and they'll automatically get a webcast version or an in-person event. Mm. So it depends on whatever happens, they want to attend or they need this information, they can do it either way. And it doesn't have to be based on a stay-at-home order, which is a possibility, but maybe they have their own health reasons, so they need to stay at home. So we have that flexibility. We're still going forward. If we do have a full shutdown and can't have a big event, all of our speakers will do by webcast.
See, there you go. Even your economic conference, your Outlook conference, you've changed that. You've updated and innovated there. How about that?
Yep.
Who can attend this, and do they need to make a reservation?
Yes, they do need to make a reservation. Matter of fact, I think we have over 200 people already registered for the event in October. Which we usually get over 750 people for the event. So you do need to register. It is for anyone who's engaged in, like, a business leader, community leader, government workers from across the state will come. State workers will come to this event. And then we have a few other people who use it for a number of other resources. So we've had fire departments that come. So it could be some of those odd ones that you wouldn't think would really want economic information, but they do it for team building or understanding what's going on, because the economy affects everybody.
Okay, how do you access? How do we get reserved? How do we get onto this thing?
The best and easiest way is going to our website at cedbr.org. That would be the easiest and quickest way to find the information about our speakers, which we have them all confirmed, and the event, and if you want one ticket or a whole table, all that's available.
You know, so many Americans have been working from home during this pandemic. Has that model changed for good now, you think?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We looked at the occupations that were the most flexible and those occupations that weren't that flexible. So restaurants, you are required to be physically present to do your job and in the public. But this professional service and business services, our economy in the U.S. and here even in Wichita, because of like Coke, great companies like that, we keep moving more and more to this. And although they weren't essential businesses, saying that they had to be physically present, they could continue to do their job. They could do it remotely. And I've talked to several employers about this one as well, of their adaptation to with their workforce. And, you know, it's clear that previous generations and business systems, like we have to have a physical meeting, those ideas have been completely shattered. And we found that in some cases there's been increased productivity for a lot of these businesses, saying, hey, you know, not being interrupted every few minutes for my coworkers means I can be more productive now, or I can be flexible in my hours. So we've had a nation that wanted to be more of that work from home, flexible hours, but we were resistant because of infrastructure and previous generations saying, no, this is the way we do business. Well, that shattered that, and I think you're on to something. I think it's going to continue. Some of that will stay around because there's some efficiencies and cost savings of less office space needed to really operate.
All right. Hey, good session this morning. We've got a kind of a handle on the future. Thanks so much for being with us, Jeremy. Keep crunching those numbers and tell us where we might be going here in the future. We look forward to that conference coming up in the fall. Thanks for your time this morning. Our guest is Jeremy Hill, Executive Director, Center for Economic Development and Business Research at Wichita State University. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2020. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.